Well, good evening. Good to see you in God's house tonight. Friday Night Mission Conference, page 443. Oh, Zion, haste. Let's stand together as we sing it.
Oh, Zion, haste, thy mission I fulfilling to tell to
sliding off the road. Amen. That's a good thing, boy. Some of the things that are being shown, Bill, if you will work your way up here, pray for us, are just frightening, really. And a lot of places about shut down. Washington, D.C. is about shut down. And all God's people said. Best time of our lives is when Congress is in recess. Oh, my. Well, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. I know last night was a blessing. Thursday to Wednesday night, a good start. And continued last night, and we're looking forward to God's blessing here with us tonight. Not an old missionary, but a retired missionary. All right, Bill, come lead us in prayer and ask God's blessing on this time tonight.
Let's pray. Father, how good it is to be able to call you, Father. We know that's only because of what Jesus Christ has done. Again, this evening we rejoice in our hearts for the privilege and the joy to come and assemble together to study your word, but also, Lord, just to hear what these folks are desiring to do, and that's going out to reach the lost. And Father, again, we know that that's tremendous in many ways, but Lord, again, how we just reminded ourselves, Lord, how we need to be reaching those around us. And Lord, again, but we're grateful as we hear messages and hear how the people are seeing their need of Christ. And God, again, this evening, unless you bless here tonight, unless you encourage, unless you strengthen us and cause us, Lord, to be stirred within our hearts, Lord, it won't be done. So we just depend upon you, even as we sing these songs. Speak to our hearts, Lord. And again, just take your word and speak to us. But help us, Lord, to be mindful of the needy people out here yet in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you so much. You may be seated. And I received a letter today, interestingly enough, from Marie, from your field director, Terry Jones, and who is the Central and South America director of BIMI. And we're going to see slides in a little bit from Alan Jackson. I think that's right, Alan Jackson in Honduras with the same mission board, BIMI. And, of course, Evan Williams and his wife are there in Honduras, and she's going to Honduras, a little different type of ministry, working with the deaf and incorporating her nursing skills with that, of course. But I received a letter from Terry Jones today about a field conference they have for the missionaries in Honduras. And they invite the missionaries to come. They kind of expect them to provide their own travel, and then they try to take care of their food and lodging and everything when they come to the field conference. Many years ago, went to Europe and spoke in the European field conference for BIMI. And the cost for the missionary, per family, per missionary family, to bring them and house them and feed them for the week is $500 a family. Now, that's very reasonable. That's very reasonable, and they're trying to raise the money for that. They have a few families. Of course, all of the supporting churches received that letter, and I'm sure they probably received that letter today. We have two missionary families in the country of Honduras. Don't you think it would be good if we'd take care of both of our families? Okay, do I hear a motion we give $1,000 for that? Have a motion for that? Okay, let's do business now. Anybody want to second it? Anybody going to second that? Somebody going to second the motion? Oh, so we need to do business. Somebody raise your hand. If you don't want to do it, we won't do it. Okay. All right. Okay. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We'll take care of that. And that'll be good for them, good for the Jacksons and for the Williamses. And we're thankful for the work that they do there. I think the Williamses have an extensive ministry with the blind also, or at least they used to. They're in Honduras. Mr. William Evans' wife is Honduran, and he's from Ireland, interestingly enough. I don't know whether you've met them yet, but you will. You will on the field. All right, that's good. That's very good. Brother Brent Maruelli is here with us tonight again. He's going to come share just a word of testimony, of personal testimony about how God has worked in his life. If you want to bring about your salvation in that, Brent, that'll be fine. Your training and where God has brought you to the position you are now with First Bible.
Amen. Good evening. Romans chapter number 12, very familiar verses 1, 2, and 3. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Living, amen. Holy, acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What a blessing the Word of God is. What a thrill it is that we have it, that we're able to read it, that we're able to hide God's Word in our heart that we might not sin against Him. I was saved back in 1972. In 1972, my mother was invited to a citywide evangelistic service put on by the local Independent Fundamental Baptist churches. That was back in the day when Independent Fundamental Baptist churches could get along together. And they would run out the local football field or gymnasium, whatever the case was in the area, and the churches would bring all their people there, and the preacher would come in and preach the gospel, and God did wonderful things in those days. I like to tell people that I believe we were in the midst of revival in the 70s, and we didn't even know it. But it was tremendous days. And that night when my mom went to that meeting, she received Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. She came home and she invited the whole family to go the next night, and I was the only one that went. Set up in the very top row of the bleacher in that gymnasium, and the preacher preached, and I couldn't tell you a thing that he said until I got to the invitation. In the invitation, he said, if on your way home tonight you were to be hit head-on by an 18-wheeler and set out into eternity, where would you spend forever? I had no idea, but I knew that I didn't want to go to hell. And that night I left that bleacher seat and walked down and received Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. You say fear is what got you saved? You can call it whatever you want. I don't really care. All I know is I got saved that night, amen? And everything changed in my life, and old things were passed away, and all things were become new. That next week I was baptized in the church there in Rolla, Michigan. It was one of those baptistries where you have to move the pulpit aside, lift the thing off the floor, and the baptismal tank was like right here where we're standing. And walk down in the baptistry is amazing back in those old churches. Went off to Bible college in 1976 to Tennessee Temple University, and was there until 1979, transferred to Faithway Baptist Bible College in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And my wife and I both graduated there in 1981, I'm sorry. And then we were 25 years in full-time pastoral ministry. And when the Lord transitioned me out of the pastoral ministry, Dr. Keene contacted me, and I had been supporting him for all 25 of those years in different churches. And when he found out about it, he called and asked if I'd consider being a part of First Bible. And that was very exciting news to my wife and I, because we wanted to do something that just wasn't being done very much of. Not that we don't need more churches, we do, but we wanted to do something different. And the Lord opened that door, and that really excited us. And for the last 7 years, we've been getting to as many places as we possibly can to make them aware of the needs of the unreached of the uttermost. You say, what do you mean, make them aware? Well, my wife, if she was here, which hopefully next time we come through, you'll be able to meet her. She has congestive heart failure, is why she's not here tonight. It's real hard for her to travel and all the meetings with me. But how many of you know somebody, when a tragedy takes place, something very, very important takes place, you want someone praying for you? How many of you know somebody to call immediately? Get that person praying. They just seem to have that connection. You know what I mean? Amazing ways to get a hold of the throne of God. And my wife is one of those people. She'll be in meetings like this, and somewhere during the course of the day, some folks will ask some prayer requests, and she'll write those things down, and she'll pray about those requests, which is incredible. But the question is what's the chances that my wife would ever pray about those requests had she not been in that meeting and heard those requests stated? Not much of a chance, right? And that's exactly what we do. We get to as many places as we can to make them aware that there's half of a world out there that's never had a Bible in their language that they can read at all. Never. And if we can make them aware of it, then they'll sense a responsibility to do something about it. And I believe in our lifetime, we can see a major part of this taken care of by getting as many churches engaged as we possibly can to help us to get it done. We've seen a lot of things transpired in the last 7 years. We just finished the Mongolian project, as I shared with you on Sunday. We've finished several amongst those of the Farsi language, the Armenian language, the Fadu language. And right now we're raising $80,000 for 10,000 whole Bibles for the Kannada language in South India. What a tremendous opportunity that is. And we're looking forward to having those funds raised hopefully within the next 6 months and get that printed and distributed, Lord willing, the first part of 2017. And so you pray for us as we go from place to place and engage as many people as we possibly can to help us get somebody the gospel for the first time ever in their language. Thank you for your help.
Amen. Amen. Do you remember the first Bible you ever had? Do you remember that Bible? You may not have it. It might be long gone somewhere. But to think that you could hand someone the very first Bible they've ever seen or heard of or wondered, that's a wonderful ministry. God bless you. Thank you so much. Page 444. I love to tell the story. Let's stand as we sing it. 444.
I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and His glory, of Jesus and His love.
before you're seated. Now, did I understand you were raising money for a language in South India? How much?
$80,000.
I think we ought to take care of that, don't you? But we might ought to take care of a piece of it. We might could take care of a piece of that. How much of y'all got toward that?
One church took an offering last week. I haven't heard the amount yet.
Just how much was it? How much you guess it was?
I'm hoping around $5,000.
Okay, we'll match that. I think it'd be good, don't you?
Amen.
Now, the money flows sometimes in missions conference. Not always, but sometimes. And we're never flush with money. But whenever, I mean, there's one thing we're about here at this church. We're about Bibles.
Amen.
Now, Walter and Flo were coming to me last night, and they told me about over at John Knox, where they've moved to. They've taken on the ministry of going into the nursing home and reading the Bible.
Amen.
Just reading the Bible to people. And the chaplain there asked for that. So they said, I said, you tell them. I said, we have Bibles. If anybody wants a Bible, we have a Bible for them.
Amen.
Would you be in favor of giving $5,000?
Amen.
To that ministry? Well, if you are, somebody ought to raise their hand and say, I move we do that. Okay. All right. Okay. Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
All right. Second to that motion. Now, we're going through the translating process right now.
Sir.
How long a process is that? Wow, in a year? Wow, wow. That's kind of an amazing thing. But to have a Bible in that language, that would be a wonderful thing. If you're in favor of participating in that, would you let it be known by saying amen?
Amen.
Anybody opposed to it? Okay, you may be seated then. Everybody in favor may be seated. Ah, the choir is against it. Okay. be a good idea. Let's stand together. Tell the world you're a Christian. And they can be too, if they'll trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know, someone said, I read this today, I think it was. If Jesus is number one in your life, it looks like he'd be number one in some place in your life. If he'd be number one in your attention, he'd be number one in your schedule. Somewhere, he ought to be number one. Number one in your budget. If he's number one in your life, he ought to be number one somewhere in your actual life. And may it be so, because people need the Lord. People need the Lord. And I want you to think about it as you're singing tonight. We're thinking about people in other countries and other places, but people across the street, people down the street, people we work with, everywhere, people need the Lord. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. I'll get that right sometime. People need the Lord. Happy Missions Conference. Receive the offering in just a minute, but ushers, wait just a minute if you will. Because before you're seated, I want all the missionaries to come to the platform. Okay? All the missionaries come to the platform. All the missionaries that are here with us this week, I want you to come to the platform. Bring the kids. Bring them all. Bring them all. Bring everybody. Bring everybody. Okay? And just right here behind the pulpit, I'm going to have y'all sing. I'm going to have you all sing a verse of Rescue the Perishing,
Amen.
Care for the Dying. Let's have the missionaries sing tonight. Okay? All right. Y'all are getting an awfully long way away from the microphone. Now, here what we're going to do is we're going to put the kids right in front. Okay? Can we put the kids right in front? And maybe we ought to have, do you need a book? Everybody need a book? Are you where you can see it? Are you where you can see it? You can be seated now. I got them up here now. I've got them up here now. You can be seated. All right? Okay. We'll need a book over here. Do you need a book?
No, sir.
I didn't think so. Okay. Okay. Do y'all need a book? Nah, you got it. All right. I think we'll let Matt solo on a verse tonight. I think that would be good. Do you know what I got in a note today? Now, I want to tell you something. I got a note today. I couldn't believe this. That today is Matt Prine's birthday. I got that note today. That today is his birthday. The daddy. The daddy. And I thought, what a guy. He finds out what we do for his boy, and he says, well, I'm going to have a birthday too. Matt, I can't believe that. But anyway, preacher's kids, yeah. Anyway, we say happy birthday to Matt. How many is this, huh? 33. Getting to be ancient. Amen. Amen. I want you to hear him sing. Sing the first and last verses of it, okay? Thank you. I got to think about that today. We haven't had them sing. Well, should have done that every night, shouldn't we? All right. Maybe Sunday we'll just have them sing three times Sunday night or something. But that's good. Ushers, come forward, if you will. We'll receive our offering tonight. Our offering tonight will go toward the love offering. And Brother Jim Lyle, if you would step here, please. I owe you $5. And I want everybody to know that I'm paying you back, okay? I borrow it publicly, I'll pay it back publicly. You charge that to dust and let the rain settle it. All right. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for this good group of folks that was up here on the platform just now. Thank you for them, Lord. I ask you to bless their ministry. I pray that this week will, as it's been a blessing to us, Lord, I pray that we can be a blessing to them. May this be a little part of it, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much. After church service tonight, if you could perhaps stick around and help maybe just about five or six guys, if you wouldn't mind. We need to set up the activity building for the banquet tomorrow night, the dinner around the world. And I ask you to go ahead and bring your food tomorrow evening, a few minutes before 6, if you would, so we can get it in the right place and things like that. And this is always a highlight, and we're looking forward to all that's in store for us tomorrow evening. Remember the time now, 6 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And if you come at 7 o'clock, you might have some dessert left over. I don't know. Can't guarantee that. But I do encourage you to be here before 6 and bring your food and all that kind of thing. Well, now listen as the Rogers family sings a wonderful song, Through the Eyes of Christ.
Lord,
good song. Well done. Thank you so much, Brother Matt Prine. If you will, come open the Bible with us tonight and speak what God has laid on your heart. I appreciate these young people. And ordinarily, this matter of starting churches is a matter of young people. And I was a little older than that, and that's one of the things I told the Lord whenever I came here. I'm a little too old for this, Lord. But I thank the Lord for what he did in that time. And I'm looking to hear wonderful things out of Grant County, West Virginia. In West Virginia, we don't just tell you the city we're from because nobody knows the city. But sometimes people know the counties. Right. And so we tell you what county we're from. and so I see some people from West Virginia nodding about that you recognize with that, what that means. But I appreciated this family so very, very much. And I don't say this very often, but his dad started a church in Roane County about a mile and a half down the road from where I grew up as a little boy, in Looneyville, West Virginia. In Looneyville, West Virginia. That's where it was. Were you born in Looneyville?
No, sir.
Oh, you weren't? I just want to get everything clear about that. But what a delight to have them here and Matt come preach to our hearts tonight. Thank you, my friend.
I appreciate it. I think you ought to take the big bus out there and take a trip to Looneyville. Just load everybody up. They'll let you out if you go to Looneyville. They'll let you go, and it'd be a great trip for you to go on. And it's an honor to be here. I appreciate it so much. And you all have already been a great encouragement to us. If you have your Bible while I'm talking, go to Acts chapter number 13. And I appreciate so much the encouragement that you've been to us and what you all have agreed to do for us in the South Branch Baptist Church last night. That's an amazing thing. And I texted my dad last night about that, and he said, wow, praise the Lord. And he was really, you know, if you know my dad, he's not without words very often, but he was, and certainly I was as well. We appreciate that so much. I appreciate anybody that takes time and effort to be an encouragement to me and to my wife, and you've done that. But I also appreciate when people take time and effort to be an encouragement to my children. And as a father and as a parent, that means so much when somebody tries to encourage my children. And today we were able to go shopping, and we met there at the Volusia Mall. And last night, Pastor Reynolds was talking to my kids, and he said, all right, we're going to go shopping tomorrow. You get to go, and we're going to give you some money tomorrow. And here's the rule, he said. He said, you cannot buy anything that you need. You can't buy clothes. You have to buy junk and stuff that you don't need. And as soon as he said that, he had three of the biggest admirers in the world right on him. He would have asked them to do anything. They would have done it for him right then. And they followed through with that. They bought a whole bunch of stuff they didn't need and a whole bunch of junk, but they had a lot of fun doing it. And I appreciate that, and they've had a great time already, and we appreciate you allowing us to be here. Acts chapter number 13. I appreciate this church. I've only been able to be here just a couple, three times, but I appreciate the encouragement and the influence that this church not only has on this area, but the impact that it has outside of this area. And it's wonderful to hear what God is doing here, what God has done in the past as a church planter, knowing this church was planted. And to see what God has done here, that's a tremendous blessing. And I'm thankful that God is still is still at work. He's still performing miracles. He's still saving souls, and he's still building his church. And that's a wonderful thing. And I want to speak about that just for a little while. Acts chapter number 13. I love the book of Acts. And as we begin, as you walk through the Word of God, we find an overlaying principle that God is always at work, and God has always been at work. You know, when we see the news and we see what's going on in our area and our world and in our country today, a lot of times it's easy for us to think, God, where are you in all of this? Anybody ever thought that thought? God, where are you in all this? And we see that, and it's easy for us to get bogged down on the bad things and the bad news and to almost think, what are we supposed to do? But the truth of the matter is, God has always been and is still working in our world today. For the first 2,000 years of history, God used a godly line to carry out His work in this world. From Adam to Abraham, God used a godly line to carry out His work and His will in this world. And then for the next 2,000 years of history, God used His people. From Adam all the way up to Christ, God used the Hebrew race, the children of Israel, to carry out His work in this world. When Christ came and when He began the church, when the church was empowered, then it began a new day. For the last 2,000 plus years, God has used what we're going to talk about tonight to carry out His work in this world. And God is at work today, as I said last night, through the local New Testament church. You know, I think we ought to place the emphasis where God places the emphasis. And if God is today placing the emphasis on His work being done through the church, then I think that is what our goal and our intentions ought to be today. In the book of Acts, as you come there, there's probably no better book in the Bible to see God at work through the church than when we come to the book of Acts. Jesus Christ had just died for the sins of mankind. He had just rose from the dead. He had just ascended back into heaven. He had told that early church, that first century church, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He promised them that the Holy Spirit would come and empower them. And that happened. And the Bible says that there in Jerusalem, those early church apostles began to spread the gospel through their region and through their area. There was something that was going on. They were staying in Jerusalem. And the Bible says, if you read, that God used something very unusual to make those early church Christians spread out. He used the persecution of the church. And because of some people like Saul and others, that it began to spread those first century Christians out among other regions other than just at Jerusalem. And the Bible says they began to preach the gospel. They began to win people to Christ, and God began to do some many wonderful things. And from pretty much for the first little part, all of that is done through the church there at Jerusalem. Tonight I want to read one verse, and then we're going to kind of walk backward and fill in the blanks. But in Acts chapter number 13, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers." We're going to come back to this verse in a little while. But I want you to take notice what the Bible says there in verse 1. The church that was at Antioch. What a wonderful example church that we find in this church at Antioch. Tonight I want to speak very quickly on this subject. A church that changed the world. A church that changed the world. You know, as we read the Word of God, all of us, and we have to come to the conclusion very early, that all of us that are saved, all of us that are believers, all of us that claim the name of Christ, all of us are called to go into all the world. That is something, that is a call placed on every one of our lives that claim the name of Christ. We are to go into all the world. You know, we cannot go into all the world, all of us at the same time, but we can do that through the local church. A church that changed the world, this church at Antioch. And we're going to kind of work backwards and come to a couple of places. And I just want to look just very briefly tonight on how the church at Antioch changed the world. I want you to go back with me, if you would, to Acts chapter number 11. Acts chapter number 11, the Bible says, talks about as this persecution arose, that it spread them out. And the Bible says in verse number 19, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. But when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. When he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people." And listen to this phrase, please. "And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." How did this church in Antioch change the world? The first way they did is by their testimony. You know, this is an interesting verse. The Bible says here that these disciples, these followers of Christ, up to that point had been trying to obey the Lord's commands, trying to live the way that they believe that Jesus Christ commanded them to live. And as they were doing that, they were given somewhat of a nickname, or they were looked upon probably by the outsiders, some people that were outside that early church group of Christians. And they looked over and they said, those people, those disciples over there, they are Christians. Now, to you and I, that term does not mean probably the same thing to us as it meant in the first century. You know, the term Christian today has taken on a whole lot of different meanings. A lot of times, it's almost if we're not Muslim, then we're automatically Christian. But that's not exactly the way this term is used throughout the New Testament. A lot of things that claim to be Christian today is a far cry from what we read about how they were living in Acts chapter number 11. And what they said was, as they began to look, and as they were watching how they lived, they said, that group of followers over there, they are Christ-like. They are little Christ. They actually identified them with the way when they saw Jesus Christ live, that was the way they were living as well. Wow. What an amazing thing to think about. What an amazing thing for somebody that would actually look at our lives and say, they not only say they're a Christian, but they also act like they are a Christian. They act like Jesus Christ. I want to say something here that's been a great conviction to me personally in my life here in the last few weeks and months. The truth of the matter is, if all of us begin to act and live like Jesus lived while he was on this earth, we would have to make some very radical changes in our life today. This church in Antioch, literally, and we'll see how they did it in a minute, changed the world by their testimony. Believer, let me ask you something. When somebody looks at your life, could they give you this tagline, Christian? Could they see the way that you act and live day in and day out and say, that person there, they are a Christ-like, little Christ individual? Let's illustrate this, if you would, in Acts chapter number 4. The Bible says, as you know, that Peter and John were coming through. They saw a lame man, and in Acts chapter 3, Peter healed him, and the Bible says he was walking and leaping and praising God. To make a long story short, it made a lot of people mad there, and the Bible says they brought him before the magistrates, and they began to ask what they were going to do to Peter and John. They had caused an uproar in the city, and they said, you know, they're preaching something. They're preaching Jesus Christ. They're preaching that he died and that he rose again, and we've got to do something about it. And they came together to discuss this. And the Bible says in chapter number 4 and verse 13, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Wow, what a testimony. He said, those guys over there, I've heard what they've said, but they actually recognized that they had been with Jesus. And beholding verse 14, the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. When they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem. And listen to this, and we cannot deny it. And those people did not agree with what Peter and John were doing or preaching. But they could see a notable difference in their lives. And everything that Peter, mainly Peter, said, they looked and it just boiled. He made them, I mean, every word he said, it probably made them more angry, and it caused them to just disagree that much more. But when they came and they were just kind of talking among themselves, man, what should we do? And they said, I don't know what to do, but there is something real that is happening in this place right here. There's something totally different. We've never seen anything like that. And church, let me say, when the unbelieving world looks at us, the way we live our lives, they're not going to agree all the time with everything that we say, and they're not always going to agree with everything that we do, but they ought to see us and say there is something real and there is something different about them, and everything they say we don't agree with, but we can't deny that something is real. You know what that is? That's Christian. That's Christ-like. This church in Antioch changed the world because of their testimony. The Bible says that they let him go and they told him not to speak anymore. And the Bible says that all men glorified God, verse 21, for that which is done You see, not everybody will agree with the way we live or say or do or act, but some people will see it and some people will come to Christ, and we can change the world by the way we live our testimony. They actually, this church in Antioch, these early church Christians, they actually acted like Jesus. Wow. That's convicting to me when I think, am I acting like Jesus? Second thing I want you to notice, please, they changed the world through their partnership. If you look there in Acts chapter 11, it says in verse 27, in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And the Bible says in verse 29, then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. The Bible says that there was a great dearth in the land, and these Christians at Antioch, they heard that there were some other Christians, some other believers that needed help. So the Bible says that they sent relief. They sent some necessary things that were needed to these other people that needed it, and they partnered together with them in order to meet their needs. The Bible says, and really when we talk about faith promise missions and we talk about mission support, when we talk about churches partnering, and I love the interactive missionary display on that back. That's a very awesome thing. It really is. You ought to take some time and fight over it to get first in line to see and read those letters and see the people that you're partnering with and see how God is changing the world through the people that you're partnering with that you can read about on that back screen. It's an amazing thing. And a lot of times when we talk about these partnerships, we automatically go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and how the churches at Macedonia, in fact, if you'll turn there, please, these churches at Macedonia gave beyond their power even more than they really could. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power. This literally means miraculous power. They were willing, they volunteered of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. That in verse 4, the Bible says they took upon the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That word fellowship literally means partnership. And what that means is they partnered together with others to spread the gospel around the world. And we automatically think of the liberality of the giving of the churches in Macedonia. But where did they learn this? They learned it from the church at Antioch. They changed the world from their partnerships. The Bible says over in Philippians chapter number 1, one of these churches of Macedonia that they were striving together. Paul said that we strive together, verse 27, for the faith of the gospel. That's working together, partnering together. And a church like this, you can partner with one another to change this area and spread the gospel in this area. And you can reach people that the person sitting beside you can and the person on the other side of the auditorium cannot reach. But what the wonderful picture and principle is that you're partnering together to work together to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It started in the church of Antioch. They changed the world by their testimony. They changed the world by their partnerships. The people they were partnering with began to change the world as well. The third thing I want you to notice is this, and this is where we want to spend a lot of our time tonight. They changed the world with their purpose. If you look in Acts chapter 13, please. The Bible says in verse number 1, we'll read these first four verses where we were trying to get to tonight. Now there were in the church, it was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. When they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed into Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. The Bible says as they were there, that they were in the church of Antioch. There were certain people there that were ministering. And I like this in verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Separate me." I like this. God uses busy people. You know, these were not Barnabas and Saul and these other men that we read about. They were not people that were just sitting back waiting for something to happen. I mean, they were serving God. They were ministering to the Lord. They were praying. They were fasting. They were doing everything they knew what to do. And all of a sudden, as they were ministering, the Holy Spirit said to them, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them." The Bible says they were sent forth with a purpose. They went to preach the gospel. They were sent by the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the one that sent them out. But I want you to notice the shift in emphasis. As we read and study through the Old Testament before Christ came, the emphasis of religion and the emphasis of worship was everybody coming together. You know, as the tabernacle in the wilderness, the emphasis was come to the tabernacle and worship. Jerusalem, everybody came to Jerusalem to worship. The temples that were built, people came to the temple, and the emphasis was, let's come and let's come and let's come and let's worship. But then Jesus came, and when he gave his great commission to the world or to the church, there's a shift in emphasis. Now in the New Testament, the emphasis is not, let's all come together, let's all go out. And that's what we see at the church of Jerusalem. The Bible says they began to go out. They were scattered, and they began to go outside of their area, outside of their comfort zone, and began to preach the gospel. But there's also another shift in emphasis in Acts chapter 13 between the church at Antioch and the church at Jerusalem. You see, the church at Antioch sent people out with a purpose. And here's what I want you to understand. The church at Jerusalem was certainly an obedient church, and God used them in a great way. But if you'll notice, they mainly sent people out when they heard of something good that was going on. Think about it. Acts chapter number 8. Remember when Philip went to Samaria? And the Bible says he went to Samaria and began to preach the gospel. And there was great joy in that city. And people began to be saved. And lives began to be changed. And miracles began to happen. What was the first thing the church of Jerusalem did? They sent Peter and John to Samaria to help them. They heard of something that was going on, and they sent Peter and John to get in on it. Acts chapter number 11, what happens? Those, really not the apostles, but those laymen and those lay people in the church at Jerusalem begin to be scattered abroad, and they heard something good was going on in Antioch. We read it, Acts chapter number 11. What did the church at Jerusalem do? They sent Barnabas to go down and check it out. They heard of something that was going on, and they thought, man, let's get in on that, and they sent them down. And that's great. That's wonderful. And I think many churches today hear of good things that are going on. They say, man, let's partner. Let's get in on that, and that's a wonderful thing. But there's a shift in emphasis between that and the church at Antioch. The church at Antioch said, hey, let's send out Barnabas and Saul, not to go get in on something that's already started, but let's send them out to start something that others can get in on as well. Think about the purpose of that church. The Bible says that as they left there, they went on that first missionary journey. And a lot of good things happened. Several not so good things happened. The Bible says that they, of course, they had a lot of opposition. And the Bible says that this happened and that happened. The Bible says that even Paul was stoned and left for dead. And the Bible says that he rose up and went, and he came back to the city of Lystra where he was stoned and left for dead. And the Bible says he came back and preached again. And what am I trying to say? They sent them out from Antioch with a purpose to start something amazing. And when they did that, they went out and they literally traveled all around the then known world and changed the world because of a purpose. You know, I believe that when we hear of something good going on, man, we ought to get in on it quickly. But I think if we're going to change the world today, man, we ought to be starting things. We ought to be thinking of ways that we can get the gospel out. And I think about all the means that we have of getting the gospel into a lost and dying world and all these different things and everything at our fingertips right there that we can use. Man, we ought to think of every possible way to start something getting the gospel to a lost and dying world. We have so many resources at our fingertips. This church in Antioch had a whole new purpose. They sent them out And in doing that, they change the world. You know, you and I have also been sent out. You say, well, I'm not sent, I'm not called to be sent out and go to Botswana, or I'm not sent to called to go to Honduras. That's fine. But you can go out from here and you can win your neighbor to Jesus Christ. You can go out from here and you can go to anywhere and begin to preach, and your school and your place of business and your work, and you can change the world being sent out of this place. You know, we've got to have a purpose. Our purpose must be God's purpose. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says that the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And if that was Christ's purpose in coming, He gave the exact same purpose to the church. And man, our purpose ought to be God's purpose. Church of Antioch changed the world by their testimony, by their partnerships, by their purpose. But then finally, I want you to notice this, by their fruit. In Acts chapter number 13, I want you to look at a phrase. The Bible says in verse number 2, it says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul. And here's the phrase I want you to look at. For the work whereunto I have called them. That was their purpose. Now let's fast forward through a lot of journeys and about a lot of miles in almost 2 years. And go fast forward to the end of chapter number 14. Would you do that? The Bible says, after they preached the gospel, they taught many, they confirmed the souls of the disciples, they ordained elders, they commended them to the Lord, they passed back through the places they had already been. Then in verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God. And mark this phrase, for the work which they fulfilled. I like this thought. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 2, that there was a work whereunto God called them. Acts chapter number 14, verse 26, the Bible says there was a work which they fulfilled. You know, I believe when God gives us something to do, and certainly God has given a church a great task, that we ought not rest until we fulfill the work that God has given us to do. And we ought to, everything that we start for the glory of God, we ought to finish for the glory of God. And no doubt they ran through some turmoil, and no doubt they ran through some hardships, and no doubt it wasn't an easy vacation as they traveled around, but God gave them a work to do, and they said, we're going to finish it by the grace of God. And I want you to look in verse number 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. You know what they did? They came back to Antioch from the place they left, and they began to tell them all that God had done with them. You know what it was? They told them a whole lot of victory stories. Man, hey, you sent me out of here. Let me show you the fruit. You sowed some seeds in us and you sent us out. Let me tell you about the fruit that you bore on our missionary journey. You weren't able to be there personally, but let me show you the fruit that was born in Lystra. Let me show you, and you know, out of Lystra comes Timothy. Acts chapter number 16. Let me tell you the fruit that was born in Pamphylia. Let me tell you about the fruit that you sowed the seed. And let me tell you about the fruit in Derby. And they began to rehearse all that God had done with them. And that church in Antioch rejoiced because they heard of some wonderful fruit that they were being able to pluck because they sent somebody out from the church in Antioch. You know, as after they did that, the Bible says in the next chapter, Acts chapter number 15, a lot of things happened between what the verses we're going to read. We'll not take the time. But in verse 36, and some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take with him with them who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren into the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the disciples. You know, this is an interesting thing, and I don't know all the details, but the Bible says Paul and Barnabas, there was something happened on that first missionary journey that John Mark left them. And as they said, hey, let's go on another journey, Paul said, I don't think we should take him. Barnabas said we should. So the Bible says they split up, and I don't think they were throwing bombs at each other. They just said, let's split up and let's both go do the work God's called us to do. So Paul took Silas, Barnabas took John Mark. They both went and did a great work for God. But in Acts chapter 16, we find that Paul receives the Macedonian call, as we like to say. And the Bible says he goes to Philippi, he goes to Corinth, he goes to Ephesus, he goes to these different places in Thessalonica. And on this second missionary journey, God allows Paul and Silas to go all these places. But where were they sent from? They were sent from Antioch. The Bible says in verse number 40 of chapter 15, they were recommended by the brethren and to the grace of God. That means they were sent by this church in Antioch. And we know what God did on that second missionary journey. And we know what God did in Philippi and what God did in Corinth and even in Athens and even in Berea and even in Thessalonica and in Philippi. And God did in Ephesus, God did a wonderful work. But where did it begin? It began with the seeds that were sown from this church at Antioch. They changed the world by their fruit. You know, everything reproduces after its own kind. If I have an apple, and I take the seeds out of it, and I put them in the ground and plant it, then an apple tree is going to come up and it's going to produce apples. It's not going to produce oranges. It's going to produce apples. You have a lot of oranges around here. If you take an orange, plant the seeds, what's going to come up? An orange tree, and it's going to produce orange. Same way with anything else. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. You know what the fruit of a Christian is? Another Christian. The fruit of a believer is another believer. Everything reproduces after its own kind. If you and I are being biblical and obedient, if you and I are believers, then you and I ought to be sowing seeds in order to produce other believers in this world. In the area of church planting, churches reproduce churches. Everything reproduces after its own kind. I believe the biblical motto is that churches start other churches. And as we read through that, as we read through this fruit, and we could spend a lot of time on this all through the book of Acts and down through the epistles, that because Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas were sent from this church at Antioch, they began to sow seeds to the then known world, and they began to bear fruit, and their fruit changed the world. In fact, over in Acts chapter 17, we're not take the time to give the context, but they accused them in chapter 17 and verse 6 of turning the world upside down. Talk about a change. They turn the world upside down. You know, I look at this and I think, man, how convicting this is. A church from Antioch, from one place, changed the world. You know, God's program for this day and age is the local New Testament church, just like this church in Antioch. A lot of things have changed since the first century, but there is something that has not changed. That is God, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We still have the same Word of God, we still have the same Spirit of God, and we still have the same command of God, and we still have the same program of God. The program of God for Antioch was the church in Antioch. The program of God for Orange City, Florida is the Volusia County Baptist Church. The program of God for Ripley, West Virginia is the Ripley Baptist Temple, the Ripley Tabernacle Baptist Church. The program of God for Petersburg, West Virginia, in just a few short months is going to be the South Branch Baptist Church. And I believe with all my heart that we have the same Word of God. We have the same Spirit of God. And I believe from small town Petersburg, West Virginia, if by our testimony and by our partnerships and by our fruit and by our purpose, if we'll be biblical, then we can change the world from Petersburg, West Virginia. And church, let me encourage you, I submit to you tonight, if we will get back to following the New Testament pattern, the first century pattern, you can change the world from Orange City, Florida. I'm thankful that this church of Antioch not just changed the then known world, but they've changed our world as well. Because from Antioch was sent the gospel to the Gentile believers. Praise God for that. They've changed my world and they've changed your world. Let's get back to doing what the Bible tells us and let's change the world from Orange City, Florida. Would you bow with me in prayer? Pastor is going to come. Father, I pray you bless this simple message. Use it, I pray, in our hearts. May you drive your word and your truth deep into our lives. We love you and thank you. In Christ's name, I pray.
Let's keep our heads bowed and our eyes closed just a moment. I wonder how many would say, Preacher, I really do want to be part of changing my world. And as I change my world, I want God to use that to accomplish his purpose in the world. Would you just raise your hand and say, I want to do that. I want to be part of changing my world. May we be serious about that thing. And may it be a priority in our lives. May we keep it right at the top of the list. And may God use us for that. I hope you'll pray much for Petersburg, West Virginia, South Branch Baptist Church. Father, I do pray. I thank you, Lord, that you've already given some indication from people there that have an interest in that little city of having a gospel preaching church. Loves you, lifts you up, talks about the cross, talks about the second coming, preach against sin. All those things, Lord, that you've given your church to do. I pray that you'll prosper them in the venture of starting that church there. And then, Lord, as they take on missionaries, what a wonderful thing, I think, of the churches that we've helped start from this church. And we support a number of missionaries. But the churches that we've helped start support a number of missionaries also. And what an impact that is. Now, Father, I thank you for this time. I ask you to bless as we see about the country now that you're sending the Haleys to. And I ask that you turn our hearts and move our hearts toward that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Haley, if you would come right on and introduce your pictures for us tonight. And, wow, I hope you go by the tables, and I hope you pick up a prayer card. And if you have a stack of prayer cards you pray for that high, that'll be all right. Just go through them. Go through them. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for them. You know, I was thinking, I'm sorry, Mike, but I was thinking as Brother Morelli was given his testimony. I know the evangelist. I know who it had to be. I know who it had to be. Played an accordion and sang and all those things. I know who he was. I thought about citywide meetings. And I thought about God Bless America crusades.
Yes.
You know, in Charlotte, North Carolina, we had 70 churches came
yes.
together
Amen.
Around that.
Praise.
There were 40 in Richmond. Going to West Virginia on 9/11. 9/11 is on Sunday. This year, a great rally a few years ago in Charleston, West Virginia, going back this year on that Sunday, September the 11th. And I think the last count I heard about 40 churches in that. I know Brother Prine's dad is one of the key leaders in the key committee for that. Area-wide and city-wide meeting on this, just that one Sunday. But I'm going to ask that our missions committee give some thought to, whenever he brought that up, I thought, we ought to be part of, well, we are part of that. I preached in a lot of the meetings. I've preached in a number of the city-wide meetings. And the souls that have been saved, and, you know, I thought, it's the first time in a long time I've heard. But here is a preacher of the gospel who was saved in a citywide meeting.
Yeah. Amen.
What a wonderful thing. That has kind of gone out of fashion in this day and time. Some people say the day of that's over. Some of the people we work with say the day for that is over. But I don't think it is. I think God can still use it. And so maybe we can think about that and, Maybe we could put them on our list sometime, that we could support them also. And I thank God for them. Okay, I'll get out of your way now, Brother Mike, and go ahead and introduce your pictures.
Amen. Cindy and I will leave tomorrow, and I just want to take a moment and tell you how much we appreciate you. We love you. We have been blessed beyond measure already, and the thoughts and the joy of partnering with you in Botswana humble us. And I want you to know that the responsibility of that is not lost on us. We've had some amazing things happen in our lives in the last 2 years, and amazing things that God's people have done. Sometimes, I'll just share this with you, one of the smallest, poorest churches in the state of Kentucky earlier last year just poured out their heart in an unusual way. And I got to the motel that night and I said, God, if there are ever those moments when I doubt if what I'm doing is important, remind me of those people. And I want to thank you tonight for your love for missions, but your investment in the cause of Christ. And we're excited about what God's given us to do and are excited to rejoice with you in what the Lord will do, and all of us being a part of that. Sometimes people say, why Botswana, Africa? Do you ever wonder why somebody want to go to a place like Botswana, Africa? I sometimes wonder why I want to go to Botswana, Africa. But I looked at my phone today, and it was 98 degrees in Botswana today. And it's 20 degrees in Indiana. And I said, hallelujah, it's the will of God. Amen. 2,173,000 people. And God has in that group of people, people that He wants us to reach and lead to Christ. And that's why we're going to Botswana, Africa. Botswana is just north of South Africa. 70% of the Kalahari Desert is Botswana. The Okavango Delta is there in the north. All those are beautiful places and beautiful things. And you'll see representation of that tonight. The capital has about 270,000 people living in the capital of Gaborone. And that's where the Clarks, whom you already support, whom we'll work with, that's where they live and work, and that will be the hub of our ministry there. The life expectancy in Botswana is 55. And I just want you to think for a moment about that. 55. The generation that we'll reach is young adults and young people who are growing up in a spiritual vacuum with the absence of the leadership of the older generation. And that makes them very prey to false doctrine and the charismatic movement and all those things that are going on in Botswana. 1 in 4 in Botswana are HIV positive. So as you watch the videos tonight, think about the fact that a lot of the young faces that you'll see, children, adults alike, can be very easily infected with the AIDS virus. And let me say this, in 15 years, Botswana has gone from one of the poorest countries into the world to one of the fastest growing economies in the world. Now, it could go bust at any moment, but they are seeing a lot of growth in their GDP and things of that, mostly cattle, tourism, the diamond industry is a lot of that, and I spoke about that already. But what I want you to understand tonight as you watch the videos is this. I like to say it this way. Public enemy number one to the gospel of Christ in Botswana is the charismatic movement. How many of you remember Jim Jones in Guyana? It's that kind of thing that's going on. I won't elaborate it for sake of time tonight. But one of the things, just to give you an example, one of the things they've done, and this is widespread all over Botswana, one of the things they've done is they planted these charismatic movement churches. Pastor, they'll give out diesel fuel in the communion cup and encourage people when they partake of communion to drink that diesel fuel, believing that that is honoring God with faith. And what I want you to understand is this. Anytime sound doctrine is absent, absurdity will fill that vacuum. So God's called us to take the liberating truth of the gospel to people who are being made merchandise of, people who are being deceived, people who are very emotional. They're tribal people. They're very receptive to that kind of thing. As a matter of fact, they're very receptive to the gospel. Nobody will ever be unkind to you about trying to witness to them in Botswana. But they embrace anything and everything that comes along, and they are very caught up in this idea of pluralism. So I just want you to pray that God will honor the truth of the gospel as we teach and preach it in Botswana, and that souls will be saved. Of course, if you have any questions, we'll be at the table afterwards. We'd love to answer those questions for you. I think the third picture in is a picture of our family, so I don't want you to miss that tonight. There's the best picture we've ever taken of our families right there about the third slide in, all right? There is no narration in the video. That's on purpose, so it's a little unique. We made it that way, and I hope you're blessed and enjoy it. Church, thank you for allowing us to be here. God bless you. Thank you, guys.
Old and Going. That's a good website, and good job, Cindy. Beautiful, beautiful. Let's pray. Father, nothing quite like faces from people stir our hearts. And Father, it's certainly people that you love. And the reason that Jesus Christ came into this world and died. May we come under the burden of that. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We will need some help in the other building. I'm assuming Brother Daniel will be there and give us instruction and guidance to do that. Hope you'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. If what you bring is really hot, mark it. Okay? Now, don't worry about cornbread and beans. That's, you know, I can handle that. If you want to put Tabasco sauce in it, that's all right, you know. But I hope you'll be back tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. We'll have a meal together. Then we'll have the missionaries answer some questions and give you some word. Answer any question you have. Any question you have about any country in the world, they know the answer to it. And then I think also tomorrow night, Marie is going to sing. Marie's going to sing. You going to play the piano and sing both? Whatever. Just whatever. Okay. Stand on one hand and whistle Dixie. Can you do that? Okay. All right. All right. God bless you. You're dismissed. Shake hands with those around you. Be back tomorrow night and give us some help, if you will, over in the other building. If you'll do that, it won't take a long time if we get some good help. Missionaries, you'll need to get there with your table and whatever you need to do to move those things and help them move their things. And I think get them in this auditorium. All right.